I am sitting where I can't leave without making it a scene. The chair is too close to the table. The waiter already knows us. I keep my phone face down so I don't look impatient. He said he would be late. He didn't say how late. I didn't ask. I watch other people arrive together. I pretend not to count minutes. I tell myself this is normal. I've told myself that before. When he finally texts, it's not an apology. It's an update. I read it twice, like there's something hidden inside it. I remember deciding earlier today that I wouldn't ask for more. Just one thing, just consistency. I didn't say that out loud. He arrives calm. He kisses my cheek like nothing is wrong. I feel myself adjust to match his mood before I can stop it. I realize I'm relieved he showed up at all. That thought stays with me longer than it should. I didn't realize how much of my life had started to revolve around waiting until I noticed how good I was at it. I could wait quietly. I could wait without asking questions. I could wait without showing it on my face. That night in the restaurant wasn't unusual. It only felt sharper because I was paying attention. He talked about his day as if nothing had happened. Meetings, a call that ran long, someone who needed him last minute. All of it sounded reasonable. I nodded at the right places. I always did. I told myself that love didn't need accounting. That keeping track was small. That being flexible was a strength. I ordered my food after he sat down, even though I had been hungry for an hour. I wanted our plates to arrive together. When the waiter asked if everything was okay, I said yes before he finished the question. My voice sounded practiced. I remember the first time I noticed this pattern. It wasn't dramatic. It was just a feeling I brushed away. We were supposed to meet after work. I stood outside his building longer than I should have. He came down smiling, unbothered, already moving on to the next thing. He kissed me then too. I remember thinking the kiss counted as proof. Proof that I mattered. Proof that the waiting wasn't empty. Over time, I stopped noticing how often plans shifted. I learned his rhythms and adjusted mine. I told myself this was intimacy. I didn't ask him why he disappeared for days. I told myself he needed space. I said that word like it explained everything. When he was present, he was warm, attentive in bursts, generous when it suited him. Those moments carried me longer than they should have. I stretched them. I replayed them when he went quiet again. Friends would ask simple questions. How are things? I would answer with details instead of feelings. I talked about where we ate, what movie we watched, how late it got. I avoided words like lonely. I avoided words like unsure. It felt disloyal to name what I couldn't fix. It felt impatient to want more than what was offered. I told myself this was how adults loved, without demands, without pressure. I learned to anticipate his moods. I could tell by the way he typed, by the time of day he reached out. If the message came late, I adjusted my expectations. If it came early, I felt chosen. That feeling mattered too much. I see that now. At the restaurant, he spoke while I listened. I asked questions that kept him talking. I avoided questions that would slow him down. I didn't want to be the reason his energy shifted. I didn't want to interrupt whatever version of him had shown up. I remember thinking that if I stayed calm enough, steady enough, he would stay too. That consistency was something I could create by not disrupting it. This was the weight I carried alone, the belief that his absence was something I needed to manage better. Later that night, we walked together for a short stretch. The city felt busy and indifferent around us. I liked that no one was watching. He mentioned a trip he might take. Not with me, not without me either. Just something that floated between possibilities. I listened without reacting. Inside, I measured the distance it would put between us. I told myself not to overthink. Overthinking had become the accusation I used against myself. Any discomfort could be dismissed that way. When we said goodbye, he didn't mention the next time we'd see each other. Neither did I. I told myself it was unspoken, that we didn't need to plan everything. At home, I sat on my bed with my coat still on. I didn't turn on the light right away. I replayed the evening like I always did. Looking for something solid, something to hold. I found moments. I didn't find reassurance. This wasn't the first night I felt this way. It just stayed longer. The next day, I woke up already calculating how much to say, when to reach out. I waited until the afternoon, then a little longer. When I finally sent a message, It was light. No questions. No wait. He replied hours later with a sentence that ended the conversation. Not unkind. Just complete. I stared at my phone longer than I meant to. I told myself he was busy. I didn't say it out loud, but part of me wondered how busy someone had to be to forget consistency altogether. Still, I adjusted. I always did. I filled my days with tasks. I scheduled dinners with friends. I kept myself occupied, but every quiet moment bent back toward him, toward the space he left open. I remember standing in a grocery store aisle, holding my phone, wondering if I was allowed to want something clearer. The question felt dangerous. Wanting clarity felt like asking for more than my share. It felt like risking what I already had. So I told myself love didn't need balance. That intensity could replace steadiness. That wanting reliability was unromantic. I believed this because it allowed me to stay. The first real fracture came quietly, not during an argument, not during a goodbye. It came when I realized I was planning my life in pencil. Everything erasable, nothing firm. I noticed how often I left weekends open, how rarely I made long-term plans, how easily I canceled things for the possibility of him. That scared me more than his silence ever had. One evening, I asked him how his week was going. It was an ordinary question. He answered with details, then added that he might be unavailable for a while. Work, travel, uncertainty. I typed a response and deleted it, then typed another. What I wanted to ask was simple. Where do I fit into this? What I sent instead was understanding, encouragement, space. He thanked me. I felt useful. That night, lying awake, I realized how often gratitude had replaced presence, how often appreciation stood in for commitment. I didn't sleep much. The next time we saw each other, I decided I would say something small, not an accusation, just a request. I rehearsed it in my head, kept it light, kept it reasonable. We sat across from each other, coffee between us. The moment felt fragile. I told him I needed a bit more consistency, just that word, nothing else. He listened without interrupting. He nodded. Then he explained, calmly, carefully. He said he cared deeply. He said this was just how he was. He said expectations made things heavy. As he spoke, I felt something slip. Not dramatic, just quiet. I heard myself say I understood. I heard myself agree that things didn't need to be complicated. I smiled when he reached for my hand. Only later did I realize what I had done. I had turned a need into a preference. I had folded again, and sitting there, hand in his, I felt the pressure settle back into place. He was relieved. I wasn't sure what I was anymore. I thought understanding would make it easier. I told myself that once things were named, they could be managed. That once I accepted who he was, I wouldn't feel so unsettled. That wasn't what happened. What happened was quieter. I stopped waiting for him to change and started adjusting even faster. I answered messages the moment they came, then learned to wait hours before sending my own. I told myself I was respecting his rhythm. I didn't say I was shrinking mine. When he disappeared for days, I filled the silence with explanations. Work, fatigue, a need to be alone. I carried those reasons for him. He never asked me to, but he never stopped me either. I remember one evening when he finally called. His voice was warm, almost relaxed. He talked about a book he was reading, a city he wanted to visit, an idea that excited him. I listened the way I always did, attentively, quiet. At some point, I realized he hadn't asked me a single question. I waited for one, any opening. When none came, I filled the space myself. I told him about my day in fragments, careful not to sound heavy. He hummed in response, not dismissive, just distant. When the call ended, I stared at the ceiling longer than necessary. I told myself it was still something. I told myself something was better than nothing. That was the sentence that began to scare me. I noticed how my body reacted before my mind did, how my shoulders tightened when my phone stayed silent, how relief washed through me when it finally buzzed. I didn't like how conditional my calm had become. I tried to take space, just a little. I waited an entire day before responding once. I told myself it was healthy. He didn't notice. That hurt more than his absence ever had. There was a night when we were supposed to meet again. Nothing formal, just dinner. I arrived on time. I always did. I sat alone for a while. I didn't check the clock at first. When I finally looked, I told myself it had only been 10 minutes. It had been 30. I didn't text. I didn't want to be the one who asked. When he arrived, he looked surprised to see me already there. Not guilty, not apologetic, just surprised. I thought you'd be late, he said. He smiled like it was a joke. I smiled back. My face knew what to do. During dinner, he talked about how much he valued freedom, how relationships became complicated when people wanted too much. He said this casually. Not to hurt me, I nodded, even though my chest felt tight. I realized then that his idea of too much included consistency, included reassurance, included me as I was. I went home that night and didn't cry. That worried me. Instead, I felt numb, flat. The next few weeks blurred together. We saw each other sporadically. We texted in between. I noticed how often I was the one bridging gaps, how often I reconnected us after silence. I told myself I was good at maintaining relationships. I didn't say I was doing all the maintenance alone. One afternoon, something shifted. I was at work when my phone buzzed, a message from him. It wasn't affectionate. It wasn't cold either. It said he needed to be honest about something. I stepped outside to read it again. My hands felt steady. That scared me too. He said he didn't know what he wanted long term. He said he cared, but didn't like feeling expected. He said he preferred things to stay light. There was nothing cruel in his words. That made them harder to argue with. I typed a response, deleted it, typed another, deleted that too. What I wanted to say was simple. I can't keep doing this. What I sent was softer. I said I appreciated his honesty. I said I didn't want to pressure him. He replied quickly, relieved. Thank you for understanding, he wrote. That sentence landed wrong. I sat there staring at my phone and felt something collapse. Not loudly, internally. I understood then that understanding was costing me everything and earning me nothing. That night, we talked in person. We sat across from each other, like always. Neutral ground, public enough to stay controlled. He spoke calmly, carefully. He said he valued what we had. He said labels made things complicated. He said he didn't want to lose me. I listened. I always did. Then he said something that stayed with me. I just don't think I can give more than this. He didn't say it defensively. He didn't apologize. He stated it like a fact. Something in me finally stopped trying to translate, stopped softening the meaning. This was it. This was the shape of things. I asked him one question. It came out steadier than I expected. Do you ever think about what I need? He paused, not long, just long enough. I try not to think in terms of needs, he said. It puts pressure on things. I nodded. I felt strangely clear. In that moment, I saw everything at once. Every weight, every adjustment, every silence I had carried. I saw how I had turned myself into something convenient, easy to pick up, easy to put down. I didn't raise my voice. I didn't accuse him. I simply told him I couldn't keep doing this. Not like this. He looked surprised, then thoughtful. He said he respected my feelings. He said he hoped we could still be close. I realized then that closeness meant different things to us. For him, it meant access without obligation. For me, it meant presence. I stood up before the conversation could soften me again, before I could reframe his words into something survivable. He reached for my hand. I let him hold it for a second. Then I pulled away. Walking home, I felt hollow, not devastated, not relieved, just emptied. I knew something irreversible had happened, not because I had left, but because I could no longer pretend that love could exist without emotional consistency. I had seen the pattern too clearly, and I couldn't unsee it. That was the point of no return. After that night, the world didn't change. That surprised me. The streets were the same. My routine held. My phone still buzzed. What changed was quieter. I woke up the next morning and reached for my phone out of habit. There was no message from him. I didn't feel panic. I noticed the absence the way you notice a sound stopping. Not relief, just awareness. I made coffee and drank it slowly. I didn't rush. There was nowhere I needed to be emotionally. That felt unfamiliar. For days, I kept expecting the ache to arrive fully formed, the kind that knocks you over. It didn't. Instead, there were small adjustments, like learning a room without furniture. I went to work. I answered emails. I laughed at things that weren't related to him. I noticed how often I used to check my phone between tasks. I noticed how much time that gave back to me. That realization didn't feel empowering. It felt unsettling. In the evenings, the quiet stretched. I didn't fill it right away. I cooked meals without checking the time. I watched entire films without pausing to see if he had written. The absence didn't hurt the way I expected. It echoed. I remembered moments I had dismissed before, times when I'd waited by a window, times when I'd rewritten messages to sound easier to love. Those memories surfaced without judgment. They didn't accuse me. They just stood there. One afternoon, I ran into him unexpectedly. On the street, no warning. He looked the same. Calm, unrushed. He smiled when he saw me. The familiar expression landed differently. "Hey," he said, like nothing had happened. I said hello back. My voice didn't shake. We stood there for a moment. People moved around us. He asked how I was. The question felt strange in his mouth. I said I was fine. It was true in a way I hadn't practiced before. He nodded. He said he was glad. There was a pause where something used to happen, where I would fill the space. I didn't. He mentioned we should catch up sometime. Lightly, without detail. I said maybe. Not yes, not no. We said goodbye. I kept walking. My heart didn't race. That scared me more than missing him would have. Later that night, I thought about what had changed. Not between us. Inside me, I no longer felt the urge to prove my value through patience. I no longer believed love needed to be chased to be real. But the wanting didn't disappear. It shifted. Sometimes, late at night, I still imagined him reaching out. Not to apologize, just to arrive differently. I didn't tell myself that meant I should go back. I didn't tell myself it meant I was weak. I let the thought exist, then pass. Friends noticed something was different. They didn't name it. They said I seemed quieter, more present. I didn't correct them. There were moments when loneliness pressed in. Not sharp, heavy. In those moments, I missed the illusion of waiting. At least waiting had direction. Now there was space, and space asked questions I wasn't ready to answer. I started noticing other relationships around me. How easily some people leaned on each other. How casually consistency existed elsewhere. That hurt in a new way. Not because I wanted what they had, but because I realized how much I had accepted without questioning. I thought about how often I had translated his absence into depth. How often I had mistaken distance for complexity. Those realizations didn't come with anger. They came with fatigue. I stopped romanticizing uncertainty. It lost its shine. Still, I didn't rewrite the past as a mistake. I knew why I stayed. I stayed because it felt alive, because intensity filled gaps that consistency never had. That part of me didn't vanish. It watched quietly now. There were days when I almost reached out, not to ask for him back, just to feel familiar again. I resisted without drama. I didn't make rules. I just waited for the urge to pass. Sometimes it did. Sometimes it lingered. I learned that endings don't always close. Some just loosen their grip. I didn't become someone new. I didn't declare boundaries out loud. I simply stopped negotiating for presence. Weeks passed. His name appeared on my phone one evening. A message. It was brief. He said he missed talking to me. I stared at the screen for a long time, longer than necessary. I didn't analyze his words. I didn't search for subtext. I asked myself one question instead, not what he meant. What would answering cost me? I felt the old pull, the familiar warmth of being wanted again. I also felt how quiet my body had become without that tension. How steady. I didn't reply right away. I didn't owe immediacy anymore. I put my phone down. I sat with the feeling. It didn't resolve into clarity. It didn't disappear. It stayed suspended. That night, I went to bed without responding, not as a statement, as a choice I wasn't ready to finalize. In the dark, I thought about how love had shaped me, how much I had bent. I thought about consistency, not as a demand, as something simple, something I no longer wanted to explain away. Sleep came slowly. In the morning, his message was still there, unanswered. I didn't know yet what I would do with it. I only knew I was done pretending that absence was intimacy.